Hello, good morning. Can you all hear me okay? Yeah, good. Well, guess where I'm from? Has anyone been there? Anyone been to Australia? Hands up, all the people been to Australia? Yep. So if you're having any trouble understanding some of my Australian strain, just put your hand up and we'll talk about that. Usually when I give these little talks, so what we're going to do first is I'm just going to babble on for the first 5 or 10 minutes about me. And the reason for this is usually there are some people that come in a little bit late, and for those people it gives them time to catch up. So you won't need to take notes on my babbling. Okay, so I'm from Sydney, Australia, and this is my ninth year over here in the UK. Familiar face? No. That gentleman there? No, good. I thought I'd seen you somewhere before. I've got movie star looks. lost complete concentration there. So my ninth year over here in a row, and I come over for the Southeast Gospel Partnership. A lot of you may have heard of that, and some of the people. I'm from Sydney, as I said, and my church there is St. Andrew's Cathedral. Has anyone been to Sydney? No? Ever been to St. Andrew's Cathedral? No. So it's the main cathedral in Sydney there, and it always houses the Dean of Sydney and the Archbishop of Sydney. You've probably heard of the Jensens, Philip and Peter Jensen. They come over and give talks here. So they were residing there till recently, and now we have a new dean. I'm happy to say his name is Kanishka Raphael, and you'll probably be hearing quite a lot about him soon. Kanishka Raphael, what kind of name is that? Well, he was born in Sri Lanka, so his bio goes, and he came to Australia very young, went to uni, and he heard about the Lord at uni, and then what happens then? He read the book of John, and he converted to be a Christian. That's how his bio goes, and now he's the Dean of Sydney. A very hands-on guy, hands-on in that as soon as he started at the church there, I asked him if he would come out and do some street evangelism. He said, yes, I would. And I thought that was really great. I said, are you scared? He said, yes, I am. So I said, well, you're normal. That's okay. Now, of course, when we do this work, I always have to come across that question of scared or fear. Hands up all the people. Well, first of all, hands up all the people that have done street evangelism before. Or hands up all the ones that haven't. How's that? That's better. There you all are. Good. Welcome. Very brave of you to come today. Now, most people, they're a little concerned. They're a little bit apprehensive. They're a little bit scared, a little bit afraid. Hands up all the people that feel a little like that. Hands up all the people that aren't. Good. So you're all normal. That's good. So usually I have to address this, and of course the apprehensive part is, and I say apprehensive because I don't really think it's fear. We're told in the Bible how many times throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New, about fear not, or related subjects. Does anyone know how many times in the Bible? It's a statistic going around. There we are, you see. I don't know where this statistic comes from. Do you know where it comes from? This statistic of 360. Apparently there was some guy in a Polish prison or something, and he was there and he had nothing to do, and he went right through the Bible 365 times. Well, of course, what does this mean? Why is it so frequent in the Bible? Well, it's because the Lord's speaking to us in some ways. I wonder what he's saying when he's telling us to fear not. Well, we are fearful people, aren't we? I mean, that's part of our nature. We're fearful people. But we're being told to go against our nature. And be unfearful. But I think what he's saying there is, trust me. Would you agree? Trust me. That's what he's saying. But there's a difference between fear and apprehension. And here's where the apprehension comes in with walking up to people on the street. When you walk up to that person, the most difficult time is when you're just walking straight up to the person. That person will look at you. And he'll say, what's this person want? He's saying in his mind, with his inner voice, what's this person want? And you're saying, with your inner voice, I wonder how this person's going to react. And so until you actually get up there and say, hello, my name's Jeffrey, this is John, and we're from the Free Evangelical Church here in Enfield, and what we're doing today is, and then he relaxes. That's only a Christian. So very important. So that's the moment of anticipation. And it is anticipation because they know, or in fact all of you know, that when you go out today and you walk up to somebody, you're going to be giving a message that people don't want to hear. Even if you're going up to a Christian, they probably don't want to hear you talking on the street there. But most of the people, presuming most of the people I meet in the street are non-Christians, the greater majority. So you know in the back of your mind that you're going to be talking about something that they don't want to hear, and so you're apprehensive about it. It's easy, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. We'll do some questions and answers in a minute. I'll just babble on for a bit more. We've had no latecomers today. Everyone's here on time. Good. Nice to see all the different churches here and so many different people. Lots of ladies here, which is a change. And usually I get mostly men in my audiences for some reason, but it's good to have so many ladies here. I think we'll get straight to it. Are you ready? So, this technique I developed, when I first started doing street evangelism, I went out with my friend Barry, and I said, no, when I came back, no, it's not going to work. Not me at all, going out talking to people about Jesus in the street. No, not at all. All those rejections, being told where to go by some people, and this and that. So after a few times of going out, I thought, well, to settle into this, I've got to develop some kind of method that will make me feel relaxed when I do it. So I started taking notes, all the pros and cons for a few months, then hashed it all together, and I came out with this little recipe here, which I've been telling people about for the last 9 years, and it works very well. So, of course, everybody's going to have a different personality when you go out and talk to people on the street, but what I'm just doing is giving you some guidelines here. So we're going to be talking about when we approach, what we're going to say, some do's, some don'ts, the content of what we're going to say, and so that's when we'll be taking notes. And we'll do some questions and answers after that. So, let me see, what have I forgotten so far? I haven't even looked at my notes yet, from the top of my head. So what we're going to do first is talk about, the things that have changed. The things that have changed over the last year since I was here last. There's some things that have changed, some things haven't changed. Has anybody read the book, Rico Tice, Honest Evangelism? Anyone? Came out last year? Yeah, not many. A couple here. In that, Rico tells us there are two kinds of Christians. He said there's the number one Christian is the Christian who prays and prays every day, Lord, lead me to someone I can talk to about Jesus. So he looks forward and takes opportunities to witness to people. Then there's Christian number two, the church goer reads the Bible and Bible studies, prays, and but their faith doesn't include witnessing. And then Rico goes on to say, it is the idols in our hearts that stop us from witnessing. How true that is. And he goes on to quote Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me. Anyone heard of Al Stewart, the Australian who comes over here and talks sometimes? He has a great analogy on Christians. He says they're like bacon and eggs. He said, the hen participates in the breakfast, but the pig commits. Involuntary, of course. I'll tell that other one later. You're a great audience, though. But okay. So nothing has changed. The Lord's Day, what did the Lord say? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Nothing's changed, but it's good to have so many workers here today. I mean, sometimes I go along to churches and there's maybe one or two people, and then sometimes there are days like this where you have 40 here, which is really great. So thank you all for coming today. Okay, I'm going to get straight into it then. I think everyone's here now. So when we start off, basically what we're going to be doing is walking up to people in the street. I like to call it Christian street conversations. There's lots of words for it. Walk up, walk, talk and share. Stranger evangelism, that's a bad one. When you say to people, would you like to come out and do some stranger evangelism? So, ooh, no wonder I'm feeling scared. I call it Christian street conversations because it is a conversation that we have. And if you all think that, it's very important to what you think, the way to terminalise it there is to, yeah, we're having a conversation out there. Okay, so when we start off, we can get ready to start, take notes now. When we start off, we're going to go out in twos. We never, ever stop people walking in the street. So this is a big relief for a lot of people. Never stop people. So we only approach people that are stationary, standing still or sitting down. There's nothing worse than trying to stop somebody. You see these guys out in the street on Saturday morning stopping people as they walk past like a gauntlet. Sometimes you walk down and you're dodging people. Never ask people if they have a minute. Excuse me, have you got a minute? No, nobody's got a minute these days. You'll see a lot of people these days on the phone. So we're always going to be looking for someone that's doing nothing, hopefully, but it's very hard to find sometimes. You'll usually find people on the phone, dot, 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 dot. What do you do? How do you find someone that's doing nothing? How do you find someone to walk up to? And I thought, there is a baby there. Welcome. I find it quite necessary to disturb people while they're on their phone. So as long as they're not talking on the phone there, they might have the phone here. Tick, 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 tick. Hello, how are you today? My name's Jeffrey, this is John. Okay, off you go. Is that hard? Is that difficult, do you think, approaching people with phones? No? Sorry?
A waste of time.
Approaching the people with phones? You never know who's talking. Yeah, yeah. That's a hard world out there sometimes, isn't it? But yeah, I find it necessary these days to actually disturb people in that way. Otherwise, you'll be out there looking for someone to talk to, and you'll spend the whole hour out there and you won't find anyone to talk to. So, yep, a little bit of disturbing there. And second thing, so that might be a little difficult for some of you, but just overlook the difficulty for a moment. The second thing I'd like to say is that when you get a reject, which you will most of the time, you walk up and say, hello, my name is Jeff, this is John, and they say, no thanks, mate, reject, okay, don't take the first reject, don't take the first no for an answer. Come in again with another question. Well, we're not preaching today. We've got the day off, actually, and we're just talking to people about this. No, second one, try and get in there again. Always look them in the eye. Keep watching their eyes all the time and you'll find just how serious the person is. Usually, the difference being that if instead of having two conversations out of 10, you'll have 8 out of 10. A huge difference by not taking the first no for an answer. All you've got to do is keep asking questions, and before you know, you'll hook onto something and that person will start talking. So it's all about asking the person questions. So what you're doing the first minute there, as soon as you meet the person, is to gain rapport with the person. Gain rapport with the person. In other words, that person's got to think you're a nice person. Tell them jokes, slap them with a little punch as you talk, another punch. It's okay. You've got to get, you know what the English are like. It can be a little reserved sometimes. Come on, it's all right. It's okay. It works, really, it does. Once you gain rapport with a person, you can talk about anything, absolutely anything at all. So you can drop the seeds of the gospel once you've gained rapport. If you don't gain rapport, you won't get very far with a person. So they've got to think you're a nice person. So how we do this is, yeah, tell them a little joke. I'll tell you my little joke now. We always go out in twos, and sometimes people think that we're JWs. No, we're not JWs. I had a girlfriend once who was a JW, and I had to get rid of her. She kept knocking on my door all the time. And it's a amazing. It usually goes down well. It's my best joke. It's the only one I have. But I do all this sort of stuff on the street. Now, you may not do this yourselves, but the whole idea is what I'm trying to put across today is that you've got to get people to relax. And to do that, talk to them. So ask them questions. As you ask a question, you always get an answer back. Ask a question, get an answer back. That's it. Questions all the time. So when we start off, so the two things to remember there are don't take no for an answer. Now, I know that sounds hard, but you'll find that after a while you get quite good at just rephrasing the question, coming back in again, and you'll find you'll have a lot of conversations. That my target's usually about 8 out of 10 approaches, I'll have 8 conversations. And every conversation should be able to slap on the back, shake hands, walk away, best of friends. That's what we should be doing. And in that time, you drop the seeds of the gospel around the person, and everybody's happy, including the Lord. So that's our challenge. So when we start off, we're going to be in twos. And when you team up in a little while, after we've done our little chat here today, you'll team up with someone, and out of the two of you, you've got to work out who's got the more outgoing personality, or who's able to talk better than the other one, whatever it is. So that's the person that will do the opening. They'll do the, hello, my name's Jeff, this is John, what we're doing today is blah, blah, blah. And then the other person will be there looking attentive. The other person's always got to look attentive, but with their inner voice during the conversation, they will be praying. Do you know your inner voice? Everyone got an inner voice. Say hello to me with your inner voice. Yeah, so this is very important. Second person, we'll call them person number one, person number two. Second person is praying with their inner voice. Very powerful stuff. Now, the first person will be doing this, because we don't want to crowd that person too much. Two people against one, yeah, this, and this, you know, the person, yep, no good. Just want one, but the other person comes in now and again, and very important for the other person, person number two, to look attentive. There's nothing worse than saying, no, looking up in the air, well, this one's, you know, like this. So you both got to be in there, engaged in the conversation there. However, the second one will just hold back. And the second one's also a backup for the first one. If the first one doesn't know what to say or gets lost there, then the second one can come in and back them up there. And of course, this is the one of the fears that a lot of street evangelists have is, what if I walk up to someone and they ask me something and I don't know how to answer it? Anyone think of that? Huh? Well, it's really not a worry, because whenever you get in any kind of trouble at all with a question, just go back to what you know, the gospel. We all know the gospel, so that's all you've got to know. What's in your heart is what you're telling people. But we'll put it into a little bit of perspective. Okay, so we go out, we're going to be in twos. And the first thing we do when we go out is we look for someone that's doing nothing. So we're like scanning around. So we're walking casually down the street there. And when you see someone that's doing nothing, which is very hard to spot these days, so more than likely you'll have to go and talk to someone who's on the phone. Not on the phone, but just looking, Facebooking there, probably doing all that sort of stuff. Our biggest enemy is the phone these days. So we'll just walk up, and even sometimes they have earphones on. You just walk up and go. And they say, what's that? How are you today? It's all right. Keep it light. The whole thing's got to be kept light. Of course, we've got to gain rapport with these people that we meet on the street. So you can hit them, punch them. But gentle punches, of course, not too hard. Wow. How are you? Bang. Sounds difficult, doesn't it? It's not. Okay, so we approach the person. It's a nice sunny day today. The Lord has provided us with. Who's got sunglasses? Put your sunglasses on from that. Show everybody what you look like. Now, if that man came up to you with sunglasses on, you probably wouldn't talk to him, right? People like to see your eyes, so don't wear sunglasses. Whatever. It's the same as when you talk to people with sunglasses on. You can't see their eyes. When you can't see people's eyes, not good. Not good to communicate. So no sunglasses. And of course, now some of you, I'm looking around at you all here, and some of you are good looking, some aren't. And I'm not going to say which ones are and which ones aren't. However, no matter how you look, if you smile, you look great, no matter how you look. So just be conscious when you're walking up to the person, big smile, and you go, "Hello, my name's Jeffrey, how are you today? How are you? How are you?" Hopefully that person will say to you, "Oh, do I know you?" And then you know you've made a good contact. Can't get better than, "Do I know you?" That's what you're aiming at. But yeah, big smile, so big smile. We're approaching. Okay. Here's what we're going to say when we walk up. So, hello. So if I'm doing the little, "Hello, my name's Jeffrey. My partner might be John. My name's Jeffrey. This is John. And we're from the Evangelical Church here in, where are we?" And what we're doing today is, we're just talking to people about belief. It's as simple as that. We're just talking to people about their belief. Then you slightly pause and you go into four different beliefs. What happens if you walk up to somebody and say, "Oh, we're just talking to people about belief. What do you believe in?" Your mind doesn't work quick enough to give me an answer. It's like, "Well, gee, what do I believe in?" You know, it's like, so you give them a few examples. So I'll say something like, "And what we're doing today is talking about belief. I'll start with faith first. Do you have a faith? Do you believe in reincarnation? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe maybe that men are actually living on the moon? Do you believe in God? Do you have a faith?" And then you end with faith. So that gives their mind time to say, "Oh, okay, we're obviously on the track of faith here. What do I believe in?" And very discreetly we've put that, haven't we? So the answer will come back, "Well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm an atheist, I'm a Muslim." Are there many Muslims in the area here?
Yes.
Oh, they're usually very good to speak with. They're quite spiritual usually in their own ways. A lot of people think they're difficult to speak with, but I find them quite easy to speak with and drop the seeds of the gospel around them without them even knowing it. Because if they do know it, they don't like that too much. But all you've got to say, "Oh, that's great to see you. Well, I believe that you have a book, a Bible called the Quran, and in the Quran is Jesus. That's fantastic. And he's a prophet, and he's as good as Muhammad, yeah, and you believe he's coming back, great." So, of course, as a Christian, we believe this, but so you can just drop the seeds around me before they know it, and very easy. Anyway, so we go out, we find the, "Hello, my name's Jeffrey, this is John, we're from such and such church," whatever church you're from in the area, "and what we're doing today is," that's the line, "what we're doing today is, we're just talking to people about belief. Do you have a faith, or perhaps you have a philosophy about life, or you have an ideal, or you believe in reincarnation, perhaps Buddhist? Do you have a faith?" Bang. The answer will come back. Now, whatever the answer is, it's up to you then to follow whatever they say. He says, "Well, I believe in cigarettes, mate. That's what I believe in. I believe in whiskey." Whatever it is, come back and join in what they say. "Cigarettes, how many a day do you smoke?" It's amazing. The first thing you say is cigarettes. So how many? Question, answer, question, answer. "I'm a pagan witch. I get it all in the streets here. Most of us here in London too. I'm a pagan witch." "Oh, wow. I've never met a pagan witch. Do you have a church or something like that? What do you do in the church there? You sing songs? Hard metal? Rock? No?" Question. So what we're doing is so before you're long, this person will start talking, especially about people who love talking about it. Blah, blah, off they'll go. And you just go along with them there. And once you see you've got the rapport going there, it's time to drop the seeds of the gospel. So we've got to stay focused all the time. It's very easy to be kidnapped by their conversation. Sometimes you'll get a real talker out there and he'll just take over the conversation. What you've got to do is just be focused. "Oh, this guy's had enough. He's had enough say." Back to the seat of the gospel. The content, in other words, that we'll be dropping. Okay. Oh, I've got your notes there, that's good. Everyone writing down your questions that you're going to ask me after? Good. Okay, what should the content be? Our conversations are going to be very short. I usually average about 4 an hour. It could be 5, it could be 1, you never know. And every single person is going to be different. So a lot of people ask me questions, I'll say, well, what if this happens? It depends on the person very much and the situation. So nothing is ever exact. So, the content, which you can all help me with this one, we'll make it really easy for you. We're going to be using the little booklet, Two Ways to Live. I think we're all getting that sort of ammunition today. And of course, the content of that is creation, sin, judgment, Jesus, the resurrection, and your choice. They're the 6 pointers in Two Ways to Live. However, we don't have time to cover this. We're going to have to realise that our conversation is probably only going to last 5 or 10 minutes, so we've got to be prepared for that. So what the main seeds I'll be dropping are sin, judgment, Jesus. Let's hear you say it. Sin, judgment, Jesus. Sin, judgment, Jesus. Yes. So sin, I always start with this. So I've gained rapport with the person, and now I see I'm getting all right. He knows I'm a Christian. He's not going to jump up in the air if I say something about my church or about my belief, because he knows that already. I've gained rapport with mates. It's good. It's time to drop the seed. So staying focused here. I start with sin. Now, I always start with sin because if a person doesn't understand what sin is, in other words, the difference between their righteousness and God's righteousness, if they don't understand that clearly, we can't really go much further in the gospel. We can't really go beyond that. They have to know what sin is. And it's not so hard to talk to somebody and explain what sin is. So I might say something like, oh, you know, that old-fashioned word sin, it's almost missing from the English language. You never hear it these days. You hear it in church, you read it in the Bible. But when was the last time you heard a couple of people over talking on the street about sin? It's just disappearing from the language. Back in the 60s and 70s, you'd hear songs, people, it's a sin to tell a lie, remember that one? Some of the songs from the 60s they used to have, but these days you just don't hear the word sin. What does the word sin mean to you? Do you think people have sin in their heart? Do you think it's very easy, very relaxed? Do you think people have sin in their heart? Or are we born that way, do you think? It's our nature, isn't it? Yeah, it's our nature. We start talking about sin. And as they reply, you'll get an idea if they have a good understanding what sin is. If not, give them some examples like, well, let's say you were at work and you left 2 minutes early. Now, your boss probably owes you the time. So you'll just very discreetly go early and say nothing. Now, in God's eyes, that's stealing time. Or you took a rubber band from work. It doesn't even bother your conscience. Put it in your back pocket, discreetly you put it in your back pocket, discreetly you leave, because, yeah, you know underneath it's not 100%, it's 99%, but not 100%, it's not bothering your conscience. In God's eyes, that's stealing a rubber band. So it's a matter of showing people the difference between their righteousness and God's righteousness. You might meet an atheist, you might say, well, I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in anything at all. So, well, just imagine that there was a God, a central figure out there, and that central figure, that God, was perfect. Just imagine now, because you don't believe in God. Just imagine that. How would you rate us human beings next to perfection? Yeah, exactly. You see it. How about the Pope? Is he perfect? No. Right. So get to the point. We've got to explain. Yeah, exactly. Just the difference between our righteousness. God's righteousness. Then we move on to judgment. God's judgment on sin. I don't use the word hell. People don't like to hear the word hell. So I'll say separation from God. So, God said. So following on from sin, you've told them what sin is. Then God said that if you sin just one time, when you die, you'll be separated from him, your creator. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like that. So we're not in a very good boat here. It looks like we're all, because we know we're all do the wrong thing sometimes. And then we move on to the good news, Jesus. Sin, judgment, Jesus. Here's what Jesus has done. And all you need to do is accept him. So what you say, then once you've got through those three, anything after that is cream. You can maybe talk for another half hour or an hour after that, who knows. Every conversation is going to be different. But they're the three, sin and repentance, that's it. Sin, judgment, Jesus. So that's our challenge with every person we walk up to be able to drop that message around them. And then what do? We leave the rest up to the Lord. Because he's the one who does the converting.